Hi, Peter Sagal here, coming to you from inside your CD player or iPod or lame off-brand MP3 player. Come on, what's wrong with you? However you're enjoying this, what you are listening to is our new collection. Wait, wait, don't tell me. Famous People Who Returned Our Calls. It's a collection of the best interviews with celebrities, newsmakers, and other notables from our show during the last 2 years or so. These are people who, for whatever reason, charity, blind ignorance, legally mandated community service, agreed to appear on our show. It's a pretty eclectic bunch. Authors and musicians, politicians and daredevils, Vulcans and princesses. Really, the only other place you're going to get a group like this is Mardi Gras. And while we're drunk, we're not that drunk. TV chef Paula Deen is one of those people who, if you met her before she was famous, you would have said, if there's any justice in the world, you would be famous. I guess there is justice in the world. She appeared in our show in April 2009 with guests Roxanne Roberts, Adam Felber, and Tom Baudet.
You could not have chosen a more unlikely lifestyle guru than Paula Deen. She spent her 20s almost entirely housebound, but finally she picked herself up and started the catering business, which turned into a restaurant, which turned into a cooking show on the Food Network, which has turned into an empire, one in which everybody is welcome and just about everything is deep fried. Paula Deen, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello, Peter. Hey, y'all. I'm so glad to be here.
We're so glad to have you. And your story is true. You weren't one of those ambitious women who started from the earliest age to go out and get rich and get
famous.
No,
honey, I just wanted to be a wife and a mama.
But that didn't work out through no fault of your own.
Well, you know, it worked out all right being a mama.
Yeah. The wife thing didn't go so good for you.
Well, you know, I held on for 27 years.
There you are.
And then, you know, I just wanted to step up to the pump and take responsibility for myself and just see how it would go.
Yeah, and it went pretty well.
It went pretty good, honey.
Neil Patrick Harris started out as a child star on the old show Doogie Howser, M.D., and has gone on to do just about everything else, a Broadway musical, sitcoms, and a bizarre turn against type in the movie Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. He's done everything except our show. He checked that off in April 2008, along with Kerry O'Connor, Tom Baudet, and Mo Rocca.
The only thing tougher than having a successful career as a child actor is surviving it. Neil Patrick Harris did that somehow, first becoming famous as the boy doctor of the early 90s TV show Doogie Howser, M.D., and then going on to a varied career in film and TV and on the Broadway stage. Neil Patrick Harris, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Hello, everyone.
So,
it is a real honor to be here. I'm a huge fan of the show and listen to it every week.
Well, that's so great. We're a big fan of yours. Now, I wanted to talk to you about the child actor experience. Would you think of yourself looking back as the typical child actor with the stage mom and the whole, you know, you had an agent when you were five? I don't know how it worked.
No, it was a little bit different than that. We were all really concerned, at least my parents were, about not seeming like stage parents.
Yeah.
So they were always very down on the whole industry and didn't want to be those people. So if anything, they were just really concerned that I didn't get too screwed up by the whole thing, I think.
Yeah, it's too bad that didn't work out. No, I mean, because it's odd. I mean, usually a child actor might be a supporting role. There might be the darling kids in the sitcom. You were the star of a primetime drama. How old were you when Doogie Howser started?
We did the pilot when I was 15, and we started this series in earnest when I was 16, and it ran for 4 years, so right. 16 to 19.
So back when the rest of us were all suffering through high school, you were more or less, you know, being a TV star. Do you ever feel...
Yeah, and maybe that had something to do with it, because it was such a heavy workload. It was a Stephen Boschko show, and it was filmed one camera like a movie. So we were just constantly working the whole time. So it was a really fun chapter.
Yeah. Do you ever regret missing out on the sort of quotidian miseries that the rest of America went through at that age?
Like prom and pep rallies?
Yeah, that sort of thing. Isolation, loneliness, rejection, you know.
How's your algebra?
My algebra's mediocre.
I can imagine. Look, you've managed to get by without it.
I don't feel like I missed out on too much. I mean, it would be such spilled milk if I said I did. I got to do bizarre things that were on par with that in other ways. So.
Oh, like what? I think you have to tell us now.
Well, I didn't go to the prom, but I went to the Golden Globe Awards.
I see. Yeah.
I still got to dress up and bring a date and stuff.
That's
so
exciting.
Similar.
It does beat that. I think it beats the prom with a stick, actually. But you also had the experience of becoming very famous, very well known in an iconic role, Doogie Howser, Genius Doctor. Did you have to work once that series ended and you were continuing your career as an actor to really actively shed that image? Did you say, okay, how am I going to show the world I'm not really Doogie Howser?
Not intentionally. I didn't want to jump onto another TV show, and I sort of steered clear of medical roles.
Yeah.
But as an actor, you're sort of, you don't get to choose which parts you get. You just audition for things. So we just tried to keep a level of quality that was pretty high and hope that, you know, the little stepping stones went to other cool parts.
Well, we've seen you do some stuff. Like you played a serial killer on Law & Order Criminal Intent once.
Yes, I've done a whole slew of made-for-TV telefilms where I was a serial arsonist. I hacked up my parents with a wood maul once. Good times.
Yeah. Really, so how did you get from, gosh, we need a fresh-faced young genius to we need a psychopath, call Neil Patrick Harris?
I don't know, but I enjoy that aspect of a career.
You also
playing the regular, nice, average guy gets boring. It's fun to play the character roles.
And I think of particularly your live theater roles. You played, for example, the very sort of sexually dangerous MC in that Broadway revival of Cabaret.
That was great.
Oh, I know. But in that situation, your fans can meet you. Did anybody come up to you and they're like, Doogie, how could you?
Some demented ones, yeah. No, the theater's been super helpful too. Doing a TV show is really exciting because lots of people get to see it, but it's a bit limiting because you're only sort of acting from the waist up all the time. So getting a chance to go and do Cabaret where you're stomping around and you'd be so full body with bruises and tattoos and being kind of naughty was really freeing for me at the time.
Yeah, that's why I'm dressed the same way right now.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm just wearing suspenders, no shirt. I've got lipstick on, eyeshadow.
Glitter on your nipples?
You bet.